Good morning. Welcome to Easy Knowing. I'm Sherry Kennedy, and I am so happy to have you join me today. I just want to remind you that the lines are always open, and I do invite you to give me a call at 773-897-6227. That's 773-897-6227. And just a reminder, I'm reaching out to all who are experiencing pain and fear in their lives, whether it's on an emotional, physical, or spiritual level, to offer you tools and guidance and a way to shift the crystal and understand the process to make your journey much easier for you. So if there is any area of your life that you would like expanded on, discussed, or to ask a question about, again, I invite you to give me a call and participate at 773-897-6227. Well, I usually give you a weather report about this time, and I just wanted to say that winter has arrived. It has been extremely cold for us for the last week, and it doesn't show any signs of letting up in the near future. So winter is here, and of course the good thing about it is that we get to have a whole new wardrobe, and that kind of makes it fun, bundling up warm and experiencing this side of the seasons. So I have been inviting you guys to call or to send me a message or through my email at easyknowing.com. And I did get a message from one of our listeners, and I thought that it was a brilliant, beautiful question, and I wanted to read it and start the discussion on the information that's being requested. So the question is, I know you have talked about soul agreements. I have been reading and researching a lot on that topic. A question I do have and haven't found is that we have all had past lives. I'm thinking that in all of my past lives, I have not awakened in those lives. In this life, I know that I am awakening and evolving and growing and learning lessons that I was meant to learn, and understanding, and most important, loving myself. So if I know this is the life I am awakening in and learning my truth, when this life is done for me, am I done going into the lifetimes? And if so, what happens next? Is that when one soul becomes spirit guides for others to help with the spiritual awakening journey? So thank you so much for the question, because it opens the door for a lot of information that I get to share with you. And the thing about our soul agreements is that before we ever come into a life, before we ever incarnate into a life, we are aware of the lessons that we want to learn, the lessons that we are here to teach, the assistance, the roles that we are agreeing to play for other people in our soul agreements with them, and vice versa. There are so many facets to a soul agreement, and sometimes it's as simple as walking past the person sitting at a table in a restaurant and overhearing their conversation, which contains exactly the information you needed to resolve one of your life's issues. So the soul agreements can be extremely simple and last moments, or they can be very complex and last lifetimes. And this is the first life that we have ever been able to awaken to this degree. Of course, there have always been those who are whose agreement was to be the shockwave rider, to be the forerunner, and to, in a sense, blaze the trail. So they would become more conscious than what was the norm based on their soul agreements. These are the ascended masters who lived in the past days and in the past lives, actually. And the reincarnation process of this life is the result, or of this time, is a result of an experiment in free will and free choice. And this is an experiment that was designed to give all of the beings the opportunity to experience the positive and the negative extremes of the spectrum and be able to choose the experience and the response to how those to what was presented, and to choose and discern and learn and grow based on the consequences of the choices, whether they be positive or negative. And this was a very defined experiment in a sense that it had a beginning and it has an end. We are at the end time of it. That's what this ascension is really all about. So in the experiment was basically started by the light beings, and whenever word went out through all of creation that this experiment was in play, the family of dark began to approach the family of light and ask if they could be part of the experiment. Well, the family of light and the family of dark both serve Creator, but the family of light serves Creator by serving others, and the family of dark serves Creator by serving self. And again, neither one is good or bad or right or wrong. It is the perspective and the process of each of the two families. But they have never, and because of the way that you have beings who give and beings who take, you have, in essence, an automatic imbalance. And so special permission was given for this experiment to take place. And this was the first time in all of creation where the light family and the dark family were combined. And the ascension process now is the process of each person choosing whether they want to be of the family of light or of the family of dark, because there is becoming the ascension is part of the separation. So in the early 90s, the agreement of Ankara was whenever the dark, head of the dark family chose to be part of the light family. And when that happened, everything began to change on Earth. We literally began to receive more light into the planet than we had ever been able to receive before. Up until the agreement was reached, there was, as an analogy, it was like there was a net around the Earth. And this net, it's an energetic net or grid that held every emotion that any human and every human on the planet ever felt from the time that it began. And as this agreement, keeping this grid in place, kept the more in fear, kept it darker in the sense of the violence and the corruption and the greed and all of that kind of thing. As the grid began to loosen and to fall away due to the light energies coming into the planet, people began to, in essence, wake up to remember. The grid put everyone on the planet in a sense of, in a state of amnesia. And as the light came into the planet, we began to wake up. We began to become more conscious, to understand what we knew differently. Plus, things that had been hidden from us and kept from us were suddenly being revealed. And even though it might have only been the tip of the iceberg, it was enough at that time to create a major shift in humanity's consciousness. And as we talked last week, remember, dimensions are consciousness. It's not a place or a location or a thing. It's not somewhere where we're going to. It's something that we create around us as we become conscious on the higher levels. So we have been literally, The third dimension is a very, very dense physical dimension. And it's the only place where this experiment could have taken place. It had to be in the third dimension because of the duality of the third dimension, because of the certain basic fundamentals of the third dimension. So this, and this is where the Earth, being a fifth dimensional being, chose to lower her surface realm to the third dimension to allow this experiment to manifest. And so we're at the final times, we're at the end times, to where we are getting to wake up, getting to be conscious. Now, in relation to the question about the past lives and us being reincarnated, every time we stood in line, we were granted permission to become part of this experiment. This is one of the biggest things that has ever happened in all of creation. And the effects of this experiment will affect all of creation, past, present, and future. So as we were chosen and are requested, volunteered, and were chosen and given permission to become part of the experiment, we would come into this, again, remembering that this was about learning free will and free choice, of being able to make our own decisions. This, a lot of things happened from the time that the experiment began until this time now. And just to kind of summarize it, not to minimize it, but to summarize it, the planet became very, very dense and dark. And as we were conditioned and programmed to the fear and to the violence and to all of those experiences, we began, and even to this day, a great many beings still believe that that is the normal way, the normal state of being. As I've said many, many times, each of us is a beautiful, radiant, rare, and precious cosmic miracle, a very unique being, and a very important part of this whole puzzle. Everyone who volunteered was not chosen to come. And what I have been told through my guides and my teachers, spiritual teachers, is that each person, each being on this planet is already a master. And what we're here to do is to create new ways of experiencing and expressing, to learn how to be who we are and to believe and be solid in our truth of that knowing, regardless of what is going on around us. In essence, because we all agree to participate in this experience, it's the collective consciousness that has maintained that vibration of the third dimension, planet itself. Gaia said, no, I'm done. It's time. And when the military and the powers that be started using technology and frequencies and things like that, the Earth resonated at a 7.3. Now, we are resonating, the Earth is resonating at over 16. And this is a statistic that I just validated a couple of days ago. Greg Braden talked about the zero point in his book way, way back. I think that was actually his first book. And what is happening is that the vibration is increasing to a higher, to hold the higher consciousness. Even if a being, whenever the Earth was vibrating at a lower density, even if you held a higher vibration, you could only get to a certain point because it was literally like there was a ceiling on the energies, which was, in kind of in essence, it was like the grid. The grid became the ceiling, and you could only go so far. Well, once everything started dissolving and dissipating, and more light came in, more love, more knowledge, more information. We began to remember, and we began to change the way that we think, change the way that we observe. That's the vibration of the consciousness shifting from the third dimension into the fourth, and then eventually into the fifth. The fourth dimension is basically the dimension that gives us the opportunity to, they call it the time dimension, because the third dimension is very, very locked in and dense in linear time. The fifth dimension, it doesn't exist in. In fact, the third dimension is the only place where linear time exists in this way. So ever since the shift that we experienced, the energetic shift that we experienced in 2012, the vibration went enough to put us into the fourth dimension. And since then, we have just been gradually creeping in more and more slowly but very steadily, further and further into the fourth dimension. And of course, we're far enough into it now that everybody you talk to is referring to how time is distorted. It's fast, it's slow, it's different, it's shifting, it's changing. Our perspective of it, our understanding of it is very, very different. We're not locked into meeting schedules in the same way that we were. So again, this is something that you want to just kind of take a look around and see what part of this is manifesting in your world. Pay attention to it, because it is absolutely in your face. So as we become more and more conscious through the vibrations increasing, we become consciously aware of what we know and understand. And that's where we're still in the free will and free choice space. So we still get to choose and create our own reality. What the ascended masters in the higher realms are communicating to everybody, and there are as many different ways as this is being said as there are people to hear it, is that when you hit the higher vibration and you are in the fifth dimension, it is an instant manifestation of your heart, your thoughts, who you are. And if you are still carrying with you the fears, the doubts, the judgments, the false beliefs of the conditioning and programming of our third dimensional experience, then those things will manifest for you instantly whenever you go into the fifth. So, two things. You're not going to be able to go into the fifth dimension until you have been cleared, because Creator's on our side. You know, everybody wants us to be successful and to evolve and to surpass where we are. This is the whole purpose of it. And this is not just the humans on the planet. It's the trees, the animals. It's every form of life on the planet is ascending. And the ascension literally means vibrating, existing, experiencing at a higher and higher level. And as those levels increase, it is shifting and changing the physical body that we are inhabiting. This has been our home for this incarnation. And each time we come back into a life or into an incarnation, we have a different home. And we're going to be male and female. We're going to experience the spectrums. We have to have that point of reference to be balanced in the wisdom and the knowledge that we are seeking and gaining. If we are truly a spiritual being, having a human experience, then the spirit is gathering data, it's gathering information, and has to have these experiences to understand in a different way and in a more complete way. So as we come back into different incarnations, when we die in this life and go back into spirit, go into our spiritual home, back to the higher realms, We understand. We're reminded. We know exactly what we're doing here and why we're doing it and what it's all about. And it's at that time that we review the life that we've had. We look and see what we still need to learn. And it's a lot of ways like, you know, talking with your a counselor in college and trying to discern what credits and courses you need to take to obtain your degree or degrees. We're doing this, we're doing it in the same way to evolve our souls. And so we pick a time because in the higher realms, time is not linear. We can pick any place in linear time to incarnate into. And sometimes we have our last life was in the 1950s, but the next life will take us back to the Egyptian times or something like that. Our time frame in the higher realms is very different than the linear time frame of the third dimensional Earth existence. So I'm hoping this is making sense, and I am sharing this information simply and clearly. I would love to hear from you if you have any comments or questions or anything you want to share. Again, the number is 773-897-6227. So getting back to talking about the question, the beautiful, brilliant question that the listener presented. Part of it was, you know, once we awaken in this lifetime and we ascend, we will no longer be third dimensional. The third dimension will no longer exist on this planet. And as we go into, as the Earth comes back into her natural state, because the Earth is a fifth dimensional being. Her essence is fifth dimensional. That at the end of this experiment, everything will be fifth dimensional, which means that the collective consciousness that created the world that we think we know in the third dimension will not exist that way. All of the planets in the solar system will be pure and whole and restored in the fifth dimension because that's their essence. And our job is to do the same thing for ourselves as our soul evolves and we let go of all of the angers and the hatreds and the judgments and understand that being in the world but not of it. We are all in this world, but we don't have to be of it. That you are rising your vibration for. As you, each one of us is becoming consciously aware a little at a time and in different time frames. There is no comparison. You know, nobody's doing it faster or better. You're not being left behind. No judgment. You cannot bring that into this. Everybody is evolving at the pace that is right for them, that is right for where their soul is and for what their soul needs for to have them have this experience. So we come back into another life with our soul agreements in place, with the beings that have we've chosen as parents and that have given us permission to come through them, and the siblings or the aunts and the uncles, everybody that we will interact with in that life, we have a soul agreement with. And again, sometimes it's very, very simple, and other times it's going to be very, very complex. And because we will always, we can also have soul agreements with people on the other side of the world, quote unquote. When it's time for that soul agreement to manifest, to be fulfilled, then the energies blend and harmonize and resonate, and it happens. You know, all of our so-called coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences. I think that these are divinely guided soul agreements being optimized. So I digress. Anyway, And as we come into this life and experience and go through those soul agreements, you know, sometimes it's what we're here to learn. Sometimes it's what we're here to teach. Sometimes we're here to be the bad guy so someone else can be the good guy and learn what that feels like. And then sometimes it's going to be the other way around. That's what karma is. It's about experiencing all. We have placed good and bad and right and wrong on it, but it's not true. It's that you have to experience the opposites. The third dimension is a duality. And for a soul, for a soul experience, you have to have tasted the duality in all the ways that exist to understand and to come into balance. And so that's what we're doing, in addition to just getting to have a life and be human and live and experience and taste and touch and feel and see and hear and experience through the emotions, you know. And, yeah, a lot of the things that have happened to us and that we have experienced as being humans throughout this experiment can be judged as good or bad or right or wrong. But whenever you take the judgment and the negativity and all of that out of it, look at the gifts, look at what we have learned, look at who you are, look at who each of the those that you love is. You look at your children, you look at your mate, you look at your siblings or your best friends, and you look in their eyes and you feel their heart. And you marvel at what an incredible being this is. The wisdom shining through the eyes that hasn't had the earthly experiences to draw it out yet is there. We shine. We are an amazing, amazing creatures. And all that we have learned, all that we have been able to master in the third dimension, through all of our trials and tribulations, all of our fears and joys, all of the experiences, however we have judged them, we have evolved. We have become more than who we've ever been. Just looking at our history in the context that we can actually relate to it, you know, this is the 21st century. And we've got technology that allows us to have photographs and proof of what our lives were like at the beginning of the 20th century. Look at how we've changed. Look at how we've evolved. Okay, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be pessimistic and say, well, yeah, that, but not necessarily to the better. Okay, you know, as you wish. I don't choose to focus on what is wrong. I choose to focus on what is right. I truly believe in the grandfather's teachings to his son about the two wolves that reside within us. Dark and one is light. Which are you going to feed? Because the one that you feed is the one that's going to grow. And up to this point, we've not known any better than to feed the dark. We haven't known that we had a choice. Yeah, we've been told we do, but we haven't understood. It's a difference between the belief and the action. Yeah, well, sure, I've got a choice. Yeah. I hear that you say that I've got a choice whenever I am in a marriage and I'm bound to this situation and these kids and poverty and, you know, I mean, there's just so many different ways to where a person from their experiences can hear my words and say, oh, you are so full of it. What choice do I have? And I address that by saying the choice is how you experience it. I don't think any of us had a happy childhood. And I think that a lot of us who are in adult bodies are still having that unhappy childhood. But I also know that at any moment we can choose different and choose how we see something that's going on with us. Okay, you may be in a situation that you feel trapped in that you may not be able to get out of right at this moment. But the minute that you totally accept and honor that and start saying, okay, this is where I'm at. What can I learn from it? How can I evolve as a result of it? That doesn't mean you're liking it. That doesn't mean you're giving into it. That doesn't mean that you are doing anything, but being consciously aware that sometimes you have to accept what you cannot change until you can change it. And your wisdom is knowing the difference. That's the serenity prayer. And it is a great value. So as we are becoming more aware of what we think we knew and how that new understanding shifts how we perceive and experience and express in this life, I think that's a pretty miraculous, amazing thing happening to us. And again, as we are getting closer and closer to the fifth dimension, and all that cannot and resonate, that will not resonate in that vibration is beginning to fall away. But before it can fall away, it has to be revealed so that it can be recognized for what it truly is, and then changed, released, let go of. But you cannot let go of anything until you know what it is you're letting go of. And we're not talking details, you know. I'm not talking about going back to when you were 5 years old and remembering the time that you got angry and so you can release the anger. That is so not what is. That's just an ego distraction and a way to keep you sucked in. All you have to do is acknowledge that you hold the emotion of anger in your body. That doesn't mean that you feel angry, but you have the emotion of anger, or the emotion of fear, or the emotion of resentment, or hate, or any other word that you put in there that your body resonates when you speak it. And all you have to do is let it go, acknowledge it, allow it, and let it be okay that it's there. My God, why wouldn't it be there? Have you looked at the films of our past history? Have you at the news? Why wouldn't you have these emotions? These are not personal in the sense that they're from your creation. But when you see the world in chaos, your world in chaos around you, I guarantee you that that is going to create a threat to your survival. And it's that threat to your survival, real or imagined, that releases the adrenaline in your body to give you the ability to respond to the feelings you're having. But because we don't use that, it becomes held in the body. Mobilized, unreleased energy. And if that emotion, that held energy, can be released through activity, through crying, screaming, yelling, laughing, throwing things, running, through physical activity, or it can be released through conscious awareness. And it takes me 10 times longer to tell you how to do it than it does for you to do it. That's the key. It's simple. When you release the energy, the vibration of the energy that you're holding in your body, it's like releasing a weight that you had tied around you that you didn't know you had. In a sense, visualize every held emotion as a tiny little weight anchoring you to the vibration that it exists on. So every time that you become aware of one of those little weights and you let it go, you've just allowed yourself to vibrate a little bit higher. And you've just allowed yourself to shift the crystal just a little bit more, to see what you know from a different perspective. And the more you do it, the more those little weights are released. The more that you have these aha moments of going, well, that pissed me off. What am I mad about? one of my biggest issues has been road rage. You know, I get so pissed off at people who don't drive, don't pay attention, don't look around, and they're so afraid that they are literally becoming the problem in and of themselves. And boy, that's whenever I would do a lot of my releasing. And then I realized that that's a charge, that that's not, that I've got to deal with a belief, which, of course, in my case, it was the belief that they're stupid, which is a false belief. It was a judgment. It's not that they're stupid. It's that they're going in a different place than I'm going, and that their choices are interfering with me wanting to have my own way. And that's the bottom line. Wanting to have my own way, to be or become non-disturbed as I'm driving on the highway, which, of course, is my highway. I own it. Nobody else has a right to it unless I give them permission. Okay. So when I stopped to look at it, there was a lot more there than what I thought. You know, I thought, okay, these people are pissing me off, so I'm just going to scream and yell, and then I'm going to release the charge, and everything is going to be fine. Well, it was for that instant, but the button kept getting pushed. I kept getting in the charge. And that's what we have to look at. And as I looked at that and broke it down, the bottom line of that is I was pissed off because I couldn't have my own way. And it's that simple. The lack of experience of knowing how to use the tools, an excuse for not learning to use them. Because it only takes a couple of honest attempts to get it down. This is the hardest, easy thing you'll do. And it's hard because it's so simple to do that people don't believe it can work. And it's so much easier just to stay in the habit, in the knee-jerk reaction to all of the experiences and the situations that are going on around us, than it is to stop and say, what's going on here? Why am I upset? We do that with other things, but it doesn't occur to us to do it in that way. Okay. Well, to those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to Easy Knowing, and I'm Sherry Kennedy. I invite you to participate by giving me a call at 773-897-6227. I know you're just loving listening to all of the information that I'm sharing, but it really does help to give me a little bit of feedback. Just a quick call to say, hey, that answered a question I had, or I don't believe anything you're saying. Something. It's a benefit, not only to you who are sitting there with the question, but to everybody else who is listening. And they may not have your question, but they've got others that will get triggered as we have a conversation. So that's what it's all about, is to give you an opportunity to help you get through the stuff in your life. Well, yay, I see that we have a caller. And as I answer this, I want to remind you to please turn down your computer. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Sherry, it's Cheryl.
Well, hello there, Miss Cheryl. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm very good. And it's just always a treat to start my Sunday morning off with your show, and I wanted to.
Well, thank you. So nice to know somebody's out there listening.
It's interesting because I thought that before the time changed, I'm here in California, that, you know, I thought, oh, 10 o'clock is really just a perfect time. And then, of course, the first Sunday after the time change, then I missed the show live because I was still, you know, thinking, well, it's 10 o'clock my time. Isn't she there? You know? and this morning, just now, everything that you're saying, I hear my thoughts, my ahas going off. So there's just way more than I could begin to, you know, comment on. But what I feel is even something as simple as the thought that I originally thought that 10 o'clock was a really good time for me. And now, by being willing to see it differently, to allow, you know, a different time and say, and now I'm finding, oh, I like 9 o'clock even better.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have thought that as long as it stayed 10 o'clock. But,
exactly.
You know, the time change gave me an opportunity to experience it differently, and I had a choice whether I was going to grumble, like, oh, this is too early, or say, wow, I see an advantage, because then I can move forward with the rest of my day, which never seems to be long enough, you know. And
yeah.
And so it just and I think that's just the overall theme of what I feel after, you know, during the week, after I've listened to one of your shows, I find myself, you know, the fact that you repeat things, you say it differently each time, and that just goes in. And then when I have an experience like I did last Sunday, where I knew I got triggered, and yet I couldn't, you know, that adrenaline took over.
Yeah.
You know, the nervous system did its normal routine. It acted in only the way it knows how to act when
right.
that much cortisol or adrenaline is pumping through. And so I didn't sleep that well, because how can you sleep when that stuff is just, you know, in high gear? But the next day I said, well, what if we just kind of looked at this? What if we deconstructed? Let's see if we could go back to the place where it went off track. What were you thinking? What were you feeling? And it took several layers. It took several times of asking the question. And,
mm-hmm.
and each time that I would feel a release, I'd think, oh, that was it. Oh, okay. You know, and then it would still kind of be, you know, hanging on. And so then I would ask again, or I would, you know, check in. And so then I wanted to really, like, document in my head, or at least to really be clear to myself, imprint it, that's the word, and say, all right, the next time you find yourself in a situation where you have this combination about making a quick decision, feeling fear because there's money and risk involved, I really kind of like took apart the parts, and
mm-hmm.
so that I could say, okay, when that's at play, what can you do differently? Can you step
yeah.
back? Can you stop? Can you just simply stop and not keep going and do it the way you're used to doing it, which is to push through and ignore that
mm-hmm.
I'm really feeling these feelings. It's just like, yeah, but it's on my list and I got to get it done.
Right.
And that's that productivity. I don't know if other listeners feel that, but it's a biggie with me. Like, but I've got this list and, you know, I want to check it off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes I know for a fact I checked off something, and that's the way I felt last Sunday. I checked off something that I wasn't happy with how it felt. It wasn't an enjoyable experience. I felt pressured. I felt all the pressure was coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had another experience Wednesday that reminded me. I said, oh, wait a minute. I feel some similar components in this situation. What can I do differently to stay out of another sleepless night, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I simply said, this is not the time to go forward with this particular situation. And even though I could feel the thought, yeah, but it's a good deal, I said, no, not today. Today it's not a good deal. And I just let it go. It never harped at me because I didn't judge it. I didn't blame myself. You know, well, how come you can't just do this and keep on going for the rest of your life? No, the rest of my life is pretty busy right now, and I don't need to add this to it.
Right.
And then I had the same experience yesterday. I was trying to create something, and I was online, and I couldn't get some internet issues to resolve, and the clock was ticking, and I wanted to do other things with the day. And that momentary feeling that I was going to just work it in, you know, I said, no, not doing it. I shut it down. I ate lunch. I redirected my energy to what I wanted to enjoy for the evening. And I went and had a good time. And while I was doing those other things, the ideas and the, you know, on a gentle basis, my creative juices could kind of keep flowing in the background as I was happy that I was not going to, mess up my other plans for the day, that I was enjoying them, every part of them. Mm-hmm. And so now today, I'll finish the creative project. And I think it's just being so mindful, I had no idea how much of my time was still unconscious, even though I thought I was conscious. But this week has shown me how quickly things could just slip right by.
Oh, yeah, they do. And it's always going to be the things that the smallest, simplest, most insignificant thing that'll slip by. But what I'm hearing with what you're sharing is that you found, you had an aha moment about a belief that created a behavior. You recognized it, you changed it. And then the universe kept putting situations in your face to give you a chance to reinforce your new truth.
Yeah, that is right, because they kept coming up.
Mm-hmm. And each time you recognize quicker how you were getting out of your truth and how you were playing the game or not playing it or whatever. Is that true?
Right. That is true. Yeah.
That's what it's about. And really, how long did it take you to do that, Cheryl? Was it hours or was it minutes, seconds?
The first time I had to experience the negative side of the behavior, and even then, I didn't judge it. That was very different to not blame, like, oh, there he did it. You did it again, just like the critical parent.
Right.
The next time, it just took minutes,
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you become aware faster because heart wants this, you know, and ego is so wanting to let heart have control or spirit, however you want to say it, that the minute that you just open to this, it's a domino effect. It comes faster and quicker and it's just more, I think.
Hello?
Are you there?
Oh,
did you lose me?
I did. Maybe I'll move. I'm on my cell phone, and I just might have been in a pocket or something. But anyway, it's just been I've had to pay attention. So
that's what it's about.
Yeah. In that sense, I'm not saying that I had to work at it, but I had to be conscious or else it would have happened again.
Exactly. That's what the awareness does, is it brings you your consciousness to the awareness of that. And each time it becomes easier and easier. because you'll see the behavior manifesting in ways that you would not think was even anywhere closely related to what this experience showed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful journey. And I thank you so much for sharing it.
You bet. My pleasure. I just love your show and appreciate your purpose in life to help each of us with our purpose in life, because it's all different.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for that, darling. I'm so
You're
happy
welcome.
To hear from you.
My pleasure. Enjoy your week and your preparation for us next Sunday. I look forward to it.
Oh, you got it, girl. It'll be a good one,
okay.
I promise.
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Love you.
Love
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, thank you, Cheryl. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing that, because it's so important. I think I'm sitting here telling you how to do it and telling you that it's simple and that it's easy and that it's quick and but to have someone else who is actually going through the process share how they achieved it. They're telling you the same thing. It's easy to do it. But you've got to click to just doing it. You have to be aware. You have to pay attention. You have to have that other part of you that is that angel on your shoulder saying, okay, did you really want, is there another way you can see this? Are you really mad at that person? Are you really upset at this? Or, you know, make you look at your behavior towards a person or an experience or a situation differently, especially if the original perspective is less than joyful and happy. You know, it's up to you, but you have to be aware. You have to pay attention to what's going on within your own body, within how you think and feel. Cannot live up to somebody else's expectations, even if those expectations are non-defined. You know, we create a set of expectations for ourselves based on what we think other people want for us in our life. So when you play the if game, that's what you're doing. You're discerning that somebody else is going to feel this way about what you do. So in order to keep them from feeling that way about what you've done, you want to do something different so that you're trying to manipulate their behavior to get them to like you, to accept you, to not judge you, which is wasted time, energy, and effort. You have to accept yourself. You have to be aware of what you're saying, thinking, doing, and feeling. And then choosing if this action, if this behavior is right for me. Then keep doing it. If it's not creating the end result of what my intent is, then I get to choose. I can change my behavior. I don't get to change my circumstance in this instant, maybe, but I do get to change how I perceive my place in it. That's the key. That's where your power lies. Be aware what you're choosing. We have so much going on in our world right now. We are being changed from the inside out. You hear me talk about saying that we're getting rewired and we're getting downloaded and talking about the ascension symptoms and things like that. Every person on the planet in a physical body at this point is being changed. Our DNA is being activated. It's being turned back on. It's being our cellular, where every cell in our body is being, restructured in a sense. the memories that are held, the light, the dark that's come in, the negative experiences. Everything is being realigned and changed so that we can release the density of the third dimension that cannot serve us where we are going. Not a punishment. We are not victims. It's not a good or bad or right or wrong. It's just an opportunity. And if you need to see it as a gift, that would be extremely appropriate for us to be able to let go, to shed, to rid ourselves of what no longer works. And we're talking about it constantly. Everybody is always verbalizing what they hate about the government, about what's going on, about who's doing this and who's doing that. There is no lack of material to draw negativity from. And, you know, and if that's really what you want to do, then please indulge, wallow in it. Get all down and get into it. But if it's not, then make a different choice. You cannot change anything making the same choices that created it. So until you shift the crystal, even a fraction, all you're going to do is spin your wheels. So it's really up to each one of us. We have tremendous choice. We have incredible power. But we don't recognize it. We don't believe it because we've been told far too long throughout far too many lives that we are unworthy, unacceptable, unlovable, less than vermin, and anything else that they could make us believe that we were, which is not true. Because if for 1 second we remembered and believed who we really are, they would run like the devil was after him. Because we are incredibly beautiful, brilliant, bright, radiant, cosmic miracles. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And part of that experience is learning how to release the negativity, how to release the lower dense vibrations, and learn how to recognize and choose the higher vibrations, choosing them knowing that it's not going to be just for the minute. So many people don't even like to have happy things happen because they know they're going to get taken away from. I know it's kind of a cockeyed perspective, but I can certainly understand how they would feel that. So start making choices. And if you started making choices, keep making them. Keep shifting the crystal. Ultimate objective is for you to be in joy, in balance, in health, in happiness, to be who you truly are. And sometimes we have to discover that through all of the crud that's been dumped on us, but we're still that beautiful, magical, miraculous light within, and we will shine. Okay, I'm getting prompted that it is time to say goodbye. I want to thank all of you for listening, and specifically, Cheryl, thank you for calling and sharing with us your experiences and your understanding and your journey. So until next week, follow your heart's song and paint the world with the colors of your soul. Bye-bye.